Ricky Buckhill. With ease, Miguel Aziz, his first goal for Portsmouth.
Into the path of Smith-Rowe, into the box, Smith-Rowe scores! A really deserved first goal in Huddersfield Town colours.
Welcome back to another episode of Away From Hale End. I'm Will Balsam. Another week of incredible news. It seemed a little bit slow in the transfer market, but on the deadline day, as we've done the last few Januaries, we've made some key loan movements. And we got some key players from the academy, some new experiences. It's been a busy month, I have to say. For the fact that the first team had nothing going on pretty much whatsoever in terms of the transfer market, it's been a fairly busy month for the academy. Obviously, Mika Biereth recalled from Motherwell, sent to Sturm Graz. He's going to get his first action today as I record this in competitive football for Sturm Graz. He did score on his debut in a friendly. Then we have a couple other things going on. We got Kayon Edwards, who's going to Leighton Orient, and we are going to start right there with a little bit of a profile on Kayon Edwards, which is, it's really my fault that I haven't gone there yet. And the fact that it took me this long to do a profile on him for all of you, I apologize, but we're going to talk about him a little bit right now. He joined the academy, joined Hale End pre-academy, age 5 years old. He's from London, he's from the area, and he signed his first professional contract in 2022. He is now 20 years old, incredibly versatile, strong, fast, clinical finishing, number 9. That's the overview on Kayon Edwards. But there's so much more to love about Kayon. He's a unique physical prospect due to this height and pace combination. He's not the size of a Chido Obi, but he is a daunting physical presence, and he has a great burst with his long strides. He's fast enough to make runs in behind between defenders, playing off the back of their shoulders, making use in the channels, receiving balls there, and then taking the play from there. He's also got the height and strength to play with his back to goal. He can be a target man against a press. He can be that outlet for you, whether it's receiving the ball on the turn and taking a defender on, or just playing intricate passes. He's got incredible movement around the box. He's always seemingly able to peel off the defender's shoulder at the right time, bringing his momentum onto a cross to make the finish easier. He never seems to be dragging his foot to try and make a finish. He always seems to be arriving at the exact time he needs to in order to make the finish easiest for himself. We talk a lot about big chances missed for strikers and why that's such a key fact and key asset, because that means you're in the right places at the right time. But Kayon takes it a step further than that. Not only is he getting in those chances, but he's making the finishes easier for himself by arriving at the right time. Think about it. Think about momentum. If you arrive at full speed when the ball is there, you're able to put more power behind the ball without having to actually put more effort into it. Versus if you're standing statically, it all is on your own. And that applies to both headed finishes and first-time finishes with your feet or any part of your body. Speaking of feet, Kayon Edwards can very easily use both feet to finish and to link up play. He's confident in his own abilities anytime he's in a 1v1, whether that's passing out of it or using his physical advantages to take a man on. Listen, he does not have the world's most convincing ball manipulation. He is not going to be the guy who's dragging the ball, dragging defenders around by intricate little moves with his feet. But he uses his shiftiness. He has an innate ability to stop on a dime, change direction, and kind of blow past the defender without necessarily using what you would call pace. Think about, and of course he's nothing like Mesut Ozil, but think about Mesut Ozil, not a fast player, but he always seemed to have the ability to shift his hips in a way that kind of confused the defenders and gave him the upper hand. And Edwards has a similar ability to do this, but with more burst. It's excellent to watch. His ball striking. He's able to put such fizz on the ball even from close range. He's confident that when he strikes the ball, he is going to put it in the back of the net. And that shows with every single one of his finishes. And he varies them. He's not just a player who's aiming for the back post. He's not just a player who's smashing it. He varies his finishes from both posts. He uses his ability to strike the ball hard as well as ability to place the ball in those specific places. Not only does Kayon Edwards have the right physique to be a number 9, but he is this excellent finisher that I'm talking about. It's with both feet. It's with his head. It's first time. It's off of a few dribbles. His goals come from all areas of the box, and he's got the IQ to always find space. He's an intelligent footballer. He's not a static footballer. I keep coming back to that point. He is the type of player who is going to continuously move until he finds himself in a space that is advantageous to his team. Whether the ball comes to him or not, Kayon Edwards is going to drag defenders. He's going to distract center backs. He's going to make space for you in the box. That's the kind of player he is. We talk about it a lot with the first team. As great as I think Gabriel Jesus is, that's not the kind of player he is. He doesn't have the physical ability to do that because he is not that size. But when you're that size striker, we see it with Mika Biereth, who's not massive either, But because of his constant movement, because of his physical appearance, it's distracting to defenders. You always need to worry about where this player is. And when you're as good of a finisher as Edwards, defenders certainly need to be worried about you. And then there's his link-up play. It's fantastic. It's top-notch. It's excellent. He receives the ball one time, two-time touches. He's always looking for plays forwards, but he doesn't force it. He's happy to play and recycle. His instincts are next level. He's seemingly always the first to a rebound, a loose touch. He is going to win duels in midfield, which we know Mikel Arteta loves in his players and especially in his forwards. He's always making the right run. There's something about his innate mentality that you cannot teach. And it's all kind of forgotten because of his high-volume scoring. In 35 under-21 apps, he has 14 goals and 4 assists. In 41 under-18 app appearances, he has 23 goals and 9 assists. This is excellent, excellent return for an academy player who has not started most of those matches, but he seems to score goals plentifully when he does get the opportunity. In order for Keon Edwards to continue his development as one of the biggest number 9 prospects in England, he must work on his first touch control in tight spaces. That is what is preventing him from being an elite striker in a setup like an Arsenal in the future. He needs to be able to receive the ball in those tight areas, whether his team is trying to play out from a press, whether he's trying to receive the ball in an intricate way in the box, playing little 1-2s. He can do all of this when he has space, but he needs to be able to do it with his back to goal when he's got a man on. He needs to be able to do it on the half turn. That is really the one thing lacking from Keon Edwards' game, and that's why I'm most excited about this loan to Leighton Orient for the rest of the season in League One. This will give him the chance to match his physicality at the senior level and understand his need to improve that. We talk about this a lot with under 21 players, especially those who are physically more advantaged than the rest. They don't necessarily rely on their technical skills all the time because they don't have to. But in this step up to senior football, Keon Edwards is going to need to rely on his technical skills in tight spaces because he's not going to be stronger and faster than every player on the pitch. He will be then some, but not every player. And he's going to get, you know, the crap beat out of him for the first few matches that he's in the side. And he'll have to learn that if he can control the ball a little bit better on that first touch, he will have defenders not play so tight to him because they know that he's going to be able to blow by them and create goals by doing so. Now let's talk about Leighton Orient, who currently sit 10th in League One. They are 11 points off the promotion playoffs, and they're actually one of the stronger defensive sides in the league, but have only scored 30 goals in 28 matches. Cue bringing in Keon Edwards on loan from Halen. The team is managed by none other than Richie Wellens, who many of you might recognize that name from this podcast. He coached Matt Smith, former Arsenal Academy player, when he was on loan at Doncaster a couple of years ago. Wellens sets the team up in the same kind of setup he has been using most of his managerial career, and that is a 4-2-3-1. He's most recently been utilizing Dan Ajayi as the lone striker in the system, who was injured all the way up until the end of November, early December, but has now scored in 4 consecutive matches. So that might worry you a little bit about what opportunity is going to be there for Keon Edwards. But here's what I will say. From the research I have done, Ajayi, and again, I don't know if I'm even pronouncing that right, has spent a lot of his career playing as a left winger. That seems to be where he's most comfortable, even when he has been played as a striker. Based off of the heat maps that I have done and the research and data that I have looked into, he is more favorably likes to play off of that left side, which could, in return, allow Edwards to be played as the center forward. I actually think that this could work quite well because Keon Edwards is quite versatile himself. He has played plenty of matches as a winger in the academy. That is nothing new to him, and it's not new to many center forwards who play academy football. They get used across the front line. So you could see a little bit of alternating, a little bit of swapping between the two of them. That is Leighton Orient's best chance at scoring goals for the rest of the season and potentially fighting for that last playoff promotion spot. 11 points might seem like a lot, but in League One, in the Championship, in any of these leagues, we've seen crazier things happen in the second half of seasons. And I mean, look at Coventry last year. They made a hell of a push and almost got their way into the Premier League in a similar situation. So what we'd like to see now is Keon Edwards at center forward for Leighton Orient for the next 6 months, playing week in and week out, working on those things I said, and scoring goals at a clinical rate and creating goals for his teammates. And that's the exact player Keon Edwards is. And that's why I think we likely will see him at center forward with Dan Ajayi at left wing, because Edwards is much more of a creator than Ajayi. And so it may not prevent Dan from scoring goals, and it may allow the both of them to fire for Leighton Orient and get them further up the table. That's Keon Edwards, but we have a lot more news to cover in Arsenal's loan system. Sam Hayball did a fairly good job. I'm not going to go ahead and say he did amazing. Let's see how these loans play out. But he found a few good spots, and obviously there were some huge departures that were permanent that we are going to get to in a second. But first, let's talk about Zane Monlouis, who has now gone to Reading. Reading currently sit 21st in League One, same league that Kayon Edwards is in. They're in a relegation spot, at least 3 points from safety. The team 3 points above them has played two fewer games. So it's likely they're closer to 4 or 5 points of safety, the teams that are in 19th and 18th. They're managed by Ruben Sells, who's another name you may recognize from his time coaching Southampton. He oversaw the end of that season where they went down to the championship last year. And so he's a name that I'm sure many of you have seen. You'll recognize his face if you are to tune into some of these Reading matches. Sells sets the team up in a 4-1-4-1, often using former Manchester United Academy starlet Charlie Savage, who I'm sure many of you know, in the base of midfield. The two center back spots have mostly been occupied by Tom Holmes, who's on loan from another Premier League club, Luton Town, Nelson Abbey, and Tyler Bindon, of which one of them recently has gotten injured, one of the main reasons they brought Monlouis in. Monlouis is very comfortable playing in either center back position, which will certainly help him see game time more often. I would imagine with his play style, which I'm about to get into, he will get into the side rather immediately. They've conceded the fourth most goals in the league, 43 goals. Only conceded 35 expected goals. So that to me spells defenders who are not comfortable on the ball, errors leading to goals, situations where defense should have done better. And Zane Monlouis likely will step right into the side. Again, he can play either left center back or right center back very comfortably because he is incredibly, incredibly composed on the ball. He is a press beating demon. He has every pass in his toolbox, line breaking ground pass, diagonal ball to wide players, through balls over the top. He's composed on the ball, often dribbles out of pressure with ease. He'll take one or two men out of play. He's got an incredible combination of height and pace that when you combine it with his absurd on-ball talents, it looks like the modern center back that many clubs are after. He wins aerial duels. He's calm in 1v1s, not really diving in all that often, and he knows how to use his speed and the ability to understand space to recover. However, it will, of course, take him some time to adapt to senior football, given the need for 100% concentration and composure off the ball. He needs to keep his eye on third man runs in behind, which has been one of his big weaknesses. Him and Ruud Walters together as a center back pairing, that has been the big issue for the two of them. They either switch off for a moment or the lack of communication, a player ends up in behind without either of them quite noticing. They were able to make up for it often because both of them are so fast, but Monlouis is going to need to improve on this immediately when he steps into the senior game, and his positives for Reading fans out there will clearly outweigh some of these potential inadequacies that a young player will have in defense. Zane Monlouis is an excellent player. He needs to get into the side for Reading every week, and this is great experience for him. He's the kind of player who isn't talked about in the same light as Ruud Walters because, again, I think Ruud Walters got a huge jump in the media due to his performances in the preseason, but the two of them have been pretty much step for step in the last few years with the under-21 setup. And I think Monlouis likely spends the rest of this year at Reading and then probably goes to a championship side next year if all goes well, plays a year there, and he's a player where you can make some profit. I don't know if there's a real chance for him with the first team, but he's the kind of player with a good year in the championship. You sell him to a team that gets promoted. I talk about this all the time. You could get 10, 12 million pounds. You have a sell-on clause. You have matching rights, whatever it is, 8 million pounds. You just continue to build and build and build on the academy. You continue to have academy players do well at English football, and that will raise the value of future players. And I think what's interesting is Arsenal have kind of started to take this approach now. They've done two different things in this window that I think are very interesting. The first is allowing the likes of Elino Sousa to go to Aston Villa and Bradley Ibrahim to Hertha Berlin. And this may come as a surprise to many, but I actually don't mind that Elino Sousa went to Aston Villa. I think if he's not a player that Mikel Arteta believes can do the job that he wants him to do after spending 2 years in the academy learning the role, then this is the right time to sell, to get him to flourish in a system which will allow him to be his best self. He's going to Aston Villa. There is no fee that has really been officially confirmed. I've seen anything from 2 to 4 million pounds rising to 12 million pounds with add-ons. I do believe there's a sell-on clause and matching rights involved. For those who don't know what matching rights means, that means if somebody bids for Elino Sousa, Arsenal will have the opportunity to match that bid, no matter what the price is. Bradley Ibrahim to Hertha Berlin. They are in the Bundesliga 2. But they're a rather huge club. Bradley Ibrahim has been given the 23 kit. He's going to jump into this side. The Bundesliga is an excellent league for him. He eats up space. He is an incredibly good transition midfielder. He loves to start a break. His long legs. I'm going to tune into Hertha Berlin matches when I can. Bradley Ibrahim, as anyone who knows, who follows me, knows he was one of my favorite players at Haaland, if not my favorite. He's a physical beast. His technical ability has gone up a level in the last year. You can watch my profile on him on my page. I will link that down below. The same with Lino Sousa. Villa fans, I went on a podcast to talk about Lino Sousa the other day. He's going to Plymouth for the rest of the season on loan. But again, just think about it. If these two players are able to now succeed, even if they do not come back to Arsenal, we don't want, you know, to hit the matching rights, whatever, in a couple of years if these players go on, it will raise the level of price for academy players in the future. That is the point of these sales. If they're not going to make it the first team, don't just let them walk for free. Find them a good fit. Aston Villa is a beautiful fit for Lino Sousa. I don't know enough about Hertha Berlin to know if that's a good fit for Ibrahim, but I do know the style of play in Germany, and Bradley Ibrahim should do excellently there. But Lino Sousa at Aston Villa, I think, can be excellent. He has the ability to do both roles that Unai Emery likes out of his fullbacks, right? Unai Emery likes to have one fullback kind of step in as the either, if he's going to play on the left side, step in as a left center back, then you play a center back and a right center back, with the right back being the overlapper. However, recently, they've been doing a lot of the opposite, having the left back, when it's Luka Digne, he's the overlapper, and the right back steps in. Lino Sousa is a tall, physical, incredible defender who also is excellent going forward. He's a modern fullback because he has learned how to play inverted, but he has so many other skills that he probably is better suited to use, and this system is just perfect for him. So I hope he does well at Plymouth. He comes back. Aston Villa do need a left back. Like, Digne's on the way out. He's going to Saudi Arabia. Alex Moreno, I'm not a huge fan. Like, Lino Sousa could theoretically step in and play 15, 20 matches for Aston Villa next year. If he's excellent for them, don't panic. We didn't make a mistake. Arteta doesn't trust him in our system. Okay, fine. There's other left backs in the market. We brought in a Jurrien Timber. There's other players in the market. Don't worry so much. The whole point of the academy is to build these players up, to have them become excellent footballers, and that makes the academy better, whether or not they do it at Arsenal. That's what you need to remember. Anyways, that rant is over. We also had Miguel Aziz leave permanently to Atletico Baleares. And I believe it's the third division of Spain. Their football tier system is a little bit confusing to me. Everyone wants to know what happened with Miguel Aziz. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and bash a young kid who's had a tough time. But whatever has happened is behind us. He's a supremely talented kid who just seemingly didn't have the right mentality to succeed right now. I hope all of the best to him. I hope he can go revive his career. Maybe he's excellent for Atletico Baleares. Maybe he finds himself a move to a Portuguese league club or a club in the Eredivisie and revitalizes his career, finds his way back to the Premier League. I wish nothing but the best for him. He's such a joy to watch. I really thought he was going to be great. But like, enough of the blaming Mikel Arteta for Miguel Aziz. It's not Arteta's fault that Aziz went to four different clubs on loan and couldn't find his feet anywhere. I saw there's one account that was just shitting on Arteta for trying to convert Aziz into a 10. No, he wasn't trying to convert Aziz into a 10. He was trying to help Aziz learn different facets of midfield, as many managers do with young players, playing them in different positions to help them improve on specific qualities to make them well-rounded players. You don't want a player who can only do one thing. That's not how you succeed. He wanted Miguel Aziz, who is not a lone six. Not a lone six. He does not cover space well enough. He does not read the game well enough to be an option as a left center midfielder for Arsenal, who can play in that more advanced role, but also he's an excellent dual winner. So we had him go to a couple of clubs, mostly Portsmouth, where he could play as more of an attacking midfielder. That experiment didn't go excellently. It went okay. Portsmouth also mismanaged him. They had multiple managers at that time. And then the next year, when he went on loan to Ibiza and to Wigan, he did not play in those roles. He played as a lone six at Ibiza. That didn't go well. He was not able to cover space. He was not focused in training. They basically terminated that contract. And then at Wigan, he also would barely train. So you can't blame Arteta. Like, it's not Aziz's fault. I think it's really tough to be a young kid playing soccer with huge prospect. Like, I think that's actually a really tough thing to do. And I don't fault Aziz at all. But faulting Arteta is insane. Other moves that happened: Charles Sago Jr. on loan to Swansea City, very exciting. He teams up with Patino. This is a team in desperate need for the exact type of player. They brought in Yannick Bolasie for the first half of this year because they were so weak at that position. His contract ended. They brought in Sago Jr. I think he gets into the side rather immediately. as we've talked about a lot on this podcast, he's very versatile. He can play right wing, left wing. He can play as a center forward. He can play as a false nine. He's really, really tidy in tight spaces. He's super creative. He has incredible ball manipulation. I hope to see him and Patino play together. That would be awesome. They actually have rarely played together at the academy. I think like they played 21 minutes in an FA Youth Cup game together, and that's it in an official matches. They've played in some behind-closed-door friendlies together, but pretty wild. This could be a real first chance for them to link up together, but I think they would do quite well together. In other news, Omar Rekik was recalled from Wigan. It wasn't recalled. His loan ended on the 20th. It wasn't extended. He has been sent to, and I'm sure I don't know how to pronounce this, Servette FC in Switzerland. They are in second place currently in the Swiss League. They're in the Conference League, the UEFA Conference League. So Omar Rekik with the chance to play European football in February. What a turnaround. And this is the other thing I wanted to talk about. I mentioned off the top, there are two things I thought we did interestingly in this window. This is fascinating to me what we've done with Omar Rekik and Mika Biereth. Sending them to not top five leagues, but top flight leagues around Europe. Biereth at Sturm Graz in Austria. Omar Rekik at Servette in Switzerland. Both teams are fighting for the league title. Both teams are in the Conference League. This is an opportunity for these two players to fight for titles, play important matches, play in a European competition. I mean, that's massive. That's huge. Like playing against Ludogorets or playing against the opportunity to play against a Premier League team in the Conference League. I mean, these are big clubs that are in the Conference League right now. And not only will it raise their abilities, but it should raise their profiles across Europe. There are scouts from across Europe sent to these games to watch players, especially from clubs like Club Bruges, Copenhagen, all these types of clubs who are known for developing young talent. And now Omar Rekik and Mika Biereth are getting to play in front of them and gain more international attention. And it's especially interesting that neither of these players are English players, because I don't think we would do this with English players. But with a Swiss player, with a Danish player, with a Tunisian player, I think it's fascinating. I think this goes well. We saw with Okonkwo who went to Sturm Graz. I think we are going to start to see Arsenal try and use this market a little bit more. I've never really seen a club do this, and I don't know if it's related, but it's just something I picked up on. Very exciting. A little bit more about Servette, because I didn't know much about them. Philippe Senderos. That's where he came from. That's where Arsenal had bought him. He was not good for Arsenal, but I thought that's interesting. Have a little bit of a relationship with that club from decades ago. They also had Kevin Mbabu and Dennis Zakaria. I'm sure many know who both of those players are, Swiss players. Spent their youth at Servette. And Gal Clichy played his last years of football there. So some Arsenal links, some interesting players have played there. Good to know it's a serious club. Lastly, Henry Jeffcott has returned to Arsenal after his loan with the under-21s. At Derby County. He was not included in the most recent matchday squad. I thought that was odd. Honestly, works out well with Monlouis leaving and Sousa leaving. That left side of the under-21s defense has lost both players. Jeffcott can play either the left back or left center back role. I think he'll actually play a lot with Taylor Foran and Rule Walters. I think he'll actually play more left back than anything. We'll probably see. I'm going to get to that in my next episode. I think we're going to have next-gen Arsenal on to talk about the setup of the under-21s, considering all these loan moves and permanent moves away. But that's everything we've got for Away From Hail End this week. Patino and the likes, we'll cover them next week a little bit more. Nothing too crazy has happened over the past week. Okonkwo had a tough time in the FA Cup. But other than that, a very exciting weekend ahead. We've got Arsenal-Liverpool. We've got Mika Biereth getting his first inclusion and hopefully his first competitive start for Sturm Graz. Brugner and Cuffy continuing to succeed. Lots of fun things ahead. I'll be keeping an eye on Sousa and Ibrahim as well. I'm not sure I'll update you every week on them, but excited to watch them get some real senior action. And other than that, it's been a lot of fun covering the last couple of days of the transfer window on Twitter. I appreciate all of your love. Please hit the subscribe button right down there and the like button. Leave me a comment. I appreciate everything you guys write. I try to cover the things you ask about in the next episode or on Twitter in some way or TikTok. Please follow me on TikTok. Having a lot of fun over there, posting a lot of match highlights. That's kind of been my new thing over there, under 21, under 18 match highlights with my commentary and people and players to look out for and interesting tactics in the way that we're trying to implement what the first team does at those levels. But lots of things to cover across all YouTube, Hail End Productions on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. Subscribe, like, follow. Peace.